Senator Carper.
Mr. Proctor, we don't often have the kind of disruptions in this room and in this building that we're witnessing here today. This is extraordinary. Not unprecedented, but extraordinary. And people might ask, well, why are folks so concerned? Well, I'll tell you why they're so concerned. And you'll have to go back to March 3rd up in Detroit, Michigan, where President-elect, then-candidate Donald Trump said these words, we're going to get rid of it, EPA, in almost every form. We're going to have little tidbits left, but we're going to take a tremendous amount out. That's what he said during the Republican primary. And what did he say after the election? Well, November 10th, Fox News with Chris Wallace, he said, environmental protection, what they do is a disgrace. Every week they come out with new regulations. And then Chris Wallace asked him, well, who's going to protect the environment? He said, responded to say, well, we'll be fine with the environment. We'll be fine with the environment. Well, we're concerned that we won't be fine with the environment. Sometimes words do matter. And one of the concerns that I have is he's the president. You would be his nominee. You would be his EPA administrator. Does all the things that he said in the campaign, do they just go away? And you, he's put somebody in place who was actually defunded or led to the defunding of the Environmental Protection Unit within your own agency. And yet you've joined in a dozen or more lawsuits over the last 6 years, ever since you've been Attorney General, and going after the EPA. That's why you have the kind of concern that you're witnessing here today, not just on that side of the dais, but on this side as well. You just took an oath. You raised your hand and took an oath and answered some questions that our chairman asked of you, and one of them was a question dealing with your willingness to respond to reasonable questions that are asked of you. One of the things I ask of you, I submitted a letter that I think you received shortly after Christmas, December 28th, close of business, and in it I ask a lot of questions. I ask you to try to respond by January 9th. You didn't respond to one of them by January 9th. You certainly didn't respond to not even one. Today's hearing, I just asked my staff, have you responded to any of those questions in writing that I asked almost 3 weeks ago? And to my knowledge, no response has yet been received. That's why we have a concern. That's why we have a concern. Mercury.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to ask you, we're going to start off by talking about mercury. In 2011, the EPA required dirty coal power plants to clean up mercury and air toxic emissions by issuing the Mercury and Air Toxic Standards Rule. This rule will reduce the mercury, a neurotoxin that contaminates our streams and our oceans, pollutes our fish, and harms our children's health. As Attorney General, I believe you've been part of at least 14 legal cases against the EPA, and at least 3 of these cases against the EPA's rules to reduce mercury emissions from power plants. Is that correct? Just yes or no?
Senator, we have been involved in litigation around the MATS rule.
Is that correct? Yes or no?
As I indicated, yes, we've been a part of litigation involving the MATS rule.
It's my understanding that at least one of these cases against the mercury rule is still pending. Is that correct? Just yes or no?
I believe so, Senator.
Thank
yes.
You. In the cases against the mercury rule, you question the EPA's determination that mercury emissions from power plants are harmful to health and should be regulated. To be clear, have you ever supported a case against the EPA that claims, quote, this is a quote, human exposure to methyl mercury resulting from coal-fired power plants is exceedingly small, yes or no?
Senator, that's not a yes or no answer, if I may.
Fair enough.
Okay.
This position seems to question an EPA decision in 2000 in which the agency determined after almost a decade of study that this is a quote from them, mercury emissions from power plants pose significant hazards to public health and must be reduced, close quote. Would you say the legal cases you've supported in the past directly challenge this agency finding, yes or no?
Senator, the challenges we've had as a state,
yes or
along
no.
with the other states, if
just
I may,
yes
Senator,
no.
If I may.
Just hold your fire. Just hold your fire. The legal position you've taken on mercury health also seems to call in question the 2003 testimony from then EPA Assistant Administrator of Air and Radiation Jeff Homestead under George W. Bush, set right where you're sitting today. And this is what he said. EPA is required to regulate mercury because EPA determined that mercury emissions from power plants pose an otherwise unaddressed significant risk to health and the environment, and because controls options to reduce this risk are available. This Bush EPA statement on mercury risk seems contrary to the legal arguments you supported in the past. Is that correct? Yes or no?
I agree with Mr. Olmstead's position that mercury is something that is very dangerous to
our environment. Thank you very
much. Should be regulated in Section 112.
Are you aware that the last three administrators have publicly stated that the EPA is required to regulate mercury from power plants because of the health risk? Yes or no?
I believe that mercury should be regulated under Section 112.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
According to the EPA, my time is about to expire. I'll just hold it for there. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, hearing none, Senator Whitehouse.
Thanks, Chairman. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Pruitt. As we discussed when you and I met, the oceans off of our ocean state are warming due to fossil fuel-driven climate change. It is crashing our fisheries like lobster and winter flounder and making earning a living harder for our fishermen. I see nothing in your career to give those fishermen any confidence that you will care one bit for their well-being and not just the well-being of the fossil fuel industry. In a process that you could replicate in an Oklahoma high school science lab, excess carbon dioxide from fossil fuel emissions is turning our seas more acid. Rhode Island shellfishermen and shellfish growers are concerned. In my colleague Senator Merkley's state, they've already had oyster spat wiped out for businesses by acidified waters. I see nothing in your career that you would care at all about our Rhode Island shellfishermen. In Rhode Island, we have bad air days, and because of EPA's work, they are fewer and fewer. A bad air day is a day when people driving into work hear on the radio that ozone from out-of-state smokestacks has made the air in Rhode Island dangerous and that infants and the elderly and people with breathing difficulties should stay home on an otherwise beautiful day. Because those smokestacks are out of state, we need EPA to protect us, and I see nothing in your record that would give a mom taking her child to the hospital for an asthma attack any comfort that you would take the slightest interest in her. And your passion for devolving power down to states doesn't help us because our state regulators can't do anything about any of those problems. They all come from out-of-state sources. In this respect, we are very like Delaware. One of the things I'd like to ask you about here is the connection between you and some of these fossil fuel companies. These are some of the companies that have supported you. These are some of the political organizations that you've raised money for. You've raised money for them for Pruitt for Attorney General, correct?
Yes, sir. I have a campaign committee for that, yes.
And Devon Energy, Koch Industries, ExxonMobil have all maxed out to that account?
I'm not aware if they maxed out or not, Senator, but I'm sure they've given to that committee.
Oklahoma Strong PAC is your leadership PAC?
It was, yes.
It was? And similarly, they gave money, they maxed out to that organization as well, which you control.
I'm unsure about that, Senator.
Okay. They contributed to it.
I'm even unsure about that as well. I haven't looked at that.
You closed your super PAC, Liberty 2.0, but that took fossil fuel contributions as well, correct?
That particular entity has been closed, yes.
Now, you helped raise money for the Republican Attorney General's Association. While you were a member of its executive committee, they received $530,000 from Koch Industries, $350,000 from Murray Energy, $160,000 from ExxonMobil, and $125,000 from Devon Energy, the company whose letter you transposed onto your letterhead and sent as an Oklahoma Attorney General document. Did you solicit, in your role at the Republican Attorney General's Association, any of that funding?
I'm unable to confirm if they gave those numbers, Senator, those amounts.
Did you solicit funding from them as in your role at the Republican Attorney General?
I attended fundraising events as an Attorney General, along with other Attorneys General, with respect to the RAGA.
And did you solicit? Did you ask them for money for RAGA?
As I indicated, I attended fundraising events.
But that's different. Attending a fundraising is one thing. Asking them is my question. Did you ask them for money?
I mean, specifically, you would have to ask about certain entities. I don't know.
Those are the entities. Koch Industries, Murray Energy, ExxonMobil, Devon Energy.
I did not ask of Koch or that, what were the other ones?
Murray Energy, ExxonMobil, Devon Energy.
I have not asked them for money on behalf of RAGA.
And then we have, you said to the chairman that there is nothing that might place you in a conflict of interest that you have not disclosed. Yet you founded the Rule of Law Defense Fund, which is a dark money operation that supports the Republican Attorney General's Association, and you have not disclosed any of your solicitations for that entity, nor have you disclosed what money was raised pursuant to those solicitations. This is an organization that appears to have a $1 million a year budget. So very substantial funds have been solicited. I believe you were its chairman. Will you disclose your role in soliciting money and in receiving money for the Rule of Law Defense Fund pursuant to your solicitation?
Senator, a point of clarification. I actually did not start nor initiate the Rule of Law Defense Fund. That is something I
you
did
led
not
it.
Do. I've been an officer of that organization for 2016. There's an executive staff, fundraisers that actually carry out the functions of that organization. There are many attorneys general that serve on that board. It's not a decision of one. It's a decision of those that have been empowered to make those decisions.
But you haven't told us anything about that. You haven't told us who you asked money from. You haven't told us what they gave if you asked them. It's a complete black hole into which at least $1 million goes. And based on your record of fundraising, it appears that a great deal of your fundraising comes from these organizations who are in the energy sector and devoted to fighting climate change.
Some of whom I've actually sued as well, Senator. But with respect to the rule
name
of law.
Name one you've sued up there.
ExxonMobil.
Really?
Yes.
My time has expired. We'll pursue this in further questioning.
Yeah, we're involved in, as I indicated, I think, in your office, we are involved in, and Senator Inhofe mentioned it in his comments, a situation in Oklahoma where multiple oil and gas companies, ConocoPhillips and others, have defrauded the state in cleanup with respect to spills that have occurred in ExxonMobil.
Yeah, it's a quitam fraud case. It has nothing to do with the environment.
Senator, I would
I think we're going to reserve that for the second round.
Sure, I'm sorry. He was coming back to me, so I was responding.
Thank you.